Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along up in Woodward on KSIW, KADS down here in Elk City. By the way, down here in Elk City, 98.1, if it goes off, I know it was off when I was driving, working on the tower. So 1240 AM or the app. 1240 AM or the app is the way that you'll be able to listen all day long until that gets resolved. So if you flip it to 98.1, it's not on, go to 1240, use the Paragon Communications app. That's how you can hang out with us here on The Sports Animal. Coming up on the show today, the NBA playoffs haven't been fantastic. The games haven't been very good. Ran some numbers as far as point differentials, pretty surprising. You know, I kind of wonder why it's been that way. Or if it's recency bias, it's always this way, and I'm just remembering it because it's happening right now. So we'll talk about that. All kinds of softball topics that we can discuss from yesterday. It's going to be Oklahoma, Florida State playing the three-game series for the national title. I might make some people mad today, but all I'm doing is going to set out numbers. That's all I'm doing. There's no numbers aren't biased, are they?
No, numbers don't lie is what
numbers
I've always said.
Don't lie. And that's all I'm going to do is lay out numbers.
Okay.
And you can listen or you can get mad and run off the road or you can come up here, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. There's no fence built around me, as our friend Jim would say. It's just simply numbers. It's all I'm going to talk about is numbers with one particular player that exited yesterday. Also, we'll put a bow on some of the topics we didn't really get to yesterday before Jim came on. I really want to discuss what happened with John Rahm. And then also the Julio Jones trade. We really even didn't get there at all yesterday. Where does that put the Titans in the AFC? And is this one of those moves that looks good on fantasy football paper, but not real paper? Because does this take away from what they are? Does it take away from the identity of the Titans with this move? So we'll discuss all that. Breaking news. Breaking news, college football scheduling-wise.
Oh.
Alabama and Oklahoma State have announced a home-and-home series for 2028 in Stillwater, 2029 in Tuscaloosa. Oklahoma State, Alabama. That's awesome.
Right at the end of Nick Saban's contract.
Right. Matter of fact, it might be that trip to Stillwater might be his last non-conference road game.
Might be.
And it also might be his first.
Might be the only one between now and then.
All at the same time. It might be his first and last. How about this? Alabama's non-conference schedule in 2028.
You got it pulled up. What do we got?
I've got it right here.
All right.
At Notre Dame.
Ooh.
Host Ohio State. At Oklahoma State.
Well, no one can knock their non-conference.
I'm going to say there's probably a chance Saban won't be there anymore.
No.
They're going to start scheduling like that.
No.
That is awesome, though. I mean, seriously, that is unbelievable non-conference schedule. And congratulations.
And guess what? That's the sad thing is that Ohio State, Notre Dame, and they say, well, we need a cupcake.
Oh, that's Jared Atha. Jared at KECOFM.com. Not Aaron. That was not Aaron that said that. At all. No, seriously, that's awesome for Oklahoma State fans.
It is.
To get Alabama, you know, what was it? Shoot, right there when the stadium renovations were complete, Georgia came to town.
Right.
That's kind of been the marquee out of conference. You know, there's been Boise. I was there for the Boise game, as a matter of fact. But nothing the caliber of what Alabama. So how cool is that? 2028, Alabama coming to Stillwater to play football, and then the return trip in 2029.
And I know we all hate Alabama. Or we want to hate Alabama, but the cool thing about Alabama is their fans are really respectful from everything I've heard.
Yeah, me too.
They're not like LSU of the SEC. The fans, they are. That's what I've heard when they came to Norman.
Now here's the question:
you went to Tuscaloosa.
Here's the question though about that. they also weren't as good as they are now.
Well, even recently at the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, see, have we heard that same thing at the Orange Bowl?
Yeah, yeah.
Because what I saw was some mom trying to fight somebody in the stands. Remember that video?
I remember that.
Now, in New Orleans, some of that.
Well, she might have been a little frustrated.
Well, she also might have been a little drunk because it's New Orleans.
That's New Orleans, yeah. But they also, I think it's a respect thing towards other programs. Like, they recognize. But Oklahoma State's had a lot of success lately. And I'm sure that'll continue all the way up to 2028. You know, the big question is, will it be the same coaches? You know, will Gundy still be there by then?
Who cares? It's going to be cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
So that kind of, well, that derailed us for just a second. So
that's cool.
Alabama coming to OSU in 2028. Cowboys returning that trip in 2029.
Cool.
All right. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. You can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is to download the Paragon Communications app. That app has all things Paragon Communications with the three radio stations here in Elk City. It's also got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News will hit the website at thepennynews.com tonight at midnight. So if you're out there, go pick up a free copy of this week's Penny News before it's gone by tomorrow afternoon, excuse me. We've got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV on there as well. And then the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show, there are a couple of ways to take that in. One is to go to KADSAM.com, find the tab there. Listen to it that way. It's on iTunes. It's also on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. All right, so Jared, yesterday we got into a little bit of the John Brohm situation there at the memorial. You know, Jim really hit the nail on the head, in my opinion. It was just the consequences for that positive test and the result of it were just ridiculous. There were so many other ways to be able to... Oh, hang on. Strike that about Bama. They're gonna move their series with Notre Dame to 29-30. So Notre Dame won't be on that schedule. Ohio State, Oklahoma State will be.
Darn.
That might have been the greatest non-conference schedule in the history of college football.
Okay,
anyway.
There goes my promo.
Yeah. Sorry about that. It was on there, then it wasn't.
That was funny. Okay.
So anyhow, it just seems, with all the things that we know, it's not like we're sitting here in June of 2020 and kind of still wondering about what is going on with this virus. How do you get it? How do you not? What are the things that can be done to kind of mitigate the chances of any of that happening? We're not there anymore. We know so much more about this and how to be able to do the best job possible of keeping the vulnerable populations away from, contracting it and that kind of thing. And John Rahm is not anywhere near a vulnerable population.
Not at all.
It bothered him so much to be sick with COVID-19 that he kicked everybody's butt by 6 shots through the first 3 rounds. That's how much it affected him. Was he was 6 shots ahead of everybody and headed to basically an 18-hole coronation round. Where he just kind of dipped his cap at every green, made a few pars, maybe sneak in a birdie or two, and hoist the trophy. And, oh, by the way, collect the $1.7 million check that it would have been to win that golf tournament. And instead of working, the one thing about the PGA Tour, it's felt like for the most part here, it's been pretty flexible in their protocols. Mm-hmm. You know, they were one of the first ones to start kind of, you know, going from, you know, you're out 14 days to you're out 7 to you're out, you know, and then if you can get the 3 negative tests, you're right back in, you know, because when they start on Monday, if you can get the 3 negatives, okay, maybe you can play on Thursday. You know what I'm saying? So they were kind of the first ones that could pioneer that line of thinking. And it's amazing to me that this is still there. And there's no forethought into figuring out, okay, what happens if we've got a runaway winner and we have to make him withdraw. I mean, it just seems like if you're really thinking about everything we know about the virus and everything we know about the youth of the players on the tour with, you know, their vulnerabilities. And, oh, by the way, being outside and being away from everybody, if you, I mean, you can make that happen. With all of that known, it's shocking that this was the result and that nothing had been put in place to counteract this exact situation.
Yeah, nobody thought of what if.
I mean, how does nobody think of that?
Yeah. Maybe because at this point in the game, they thought, we know, like everything you said, we know so much about this virus, but they still, you know, then get rid of these protocols, you know?
Well,
get rid of them.
You know, they kind of have. Here's the sucky part for Rom. He had had one shot, one vaccination shot. He hadn't gotten the second one yet.
Right.
And the PGA Tour protocols exist right now that if you've had both shots, you don't have to take a test.
Okay.
It's like everything they've done has been ahead of the protocol, ahead of the guideline, you know, except for this. It's like they forgot, oh, yeah, if somebody gets it, now what? It's like they forgot that that's just been there since they came back at the Colonial. When was that? In June of last year or whatever? May of last year? It's just, man, and all the things that it changed. You know, I thought it was really interesting when Jack Nicklaus was talking on the air when he came up in the booth and all that, and he was talking about how hard it was for guys like for the two guys that were way behind but in tied for second at the time, Morikawa and Cantlay, how hard that would have been to change their mindset on a dime, because they're walking off the green on 18 on Saturday knowing they just got walloped. Dude. And we're going to have to do something incredibly special. And he said, I promise you, they were already thinking about that with the couple of holes to play on Saturday, the mindset they were going to have on Sunday to chase him down and go for everything. And for that to have to flip on a dime, and now, wait a minute, I'm leading the golf tournament. I'm tied for the lead. We're playing together. It's like, you know, I hate when they say this on the coverage, but they do it a bunch. It's like a match play situation. Well, no, it's not. Because if you lose by four shots on one hole, it's not just worth one. It's worth all four, and then you're behind. But anyhow, and it just, it's you know, Rom, he was number three in the world. Who knows what that gets him to with that win at Memorial?
Yeah.
Obviously, the $1.7 million. He actually went down three spots in the FedEx Cup point chase instead of up. He was 15th going into the week. He's easily top 10, if not top 5. And all because of a protocol that is so outdated, and you called it archaic, and I think that's exactly the right word, with what we know on June the 6th of 2021. It's just baffling that no one had maybe thought about this. And even if you hadn't thought about it, you've got time. You know, I mean, they knew an hour and a half or 2 hours before they told him that he had tested positive the first time. So at that point, how do you not start thinking, okay, we're going to retest this. If it comes back positive, how are we going to deal with this without making him just automatically have to withdraw, be out of the tournament?
I'm going to go down the rabbit hole here.
Do it.
Why not, right? Everyone else does. What if this was a way for the PGA to send a message to the rest of its players?
To get vaccinated?
Yeah.
Then sue them.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm wrong, I might do it anyway. But if you were able to find that in, like, emails back and forth between the commissioner or somebody.
That'd be a bombshell.
Dude.
That'd be.
You could sue them into oblivion.
Yeah. I mean, because they are encouraging.
Well, just like everybody else.
Just like everybody else.
But you know what's funny?
But then, you know, yeah.
You know, the people that are encouraging it the most, which is like Fauci's office and some of those bureaucratic, you know what they've got about half vaccinated.
LeBron.
Wonder why. Yeah, LeBron's on every single PSA for the NBA. Vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. Are we sure he is? He sure won't say.
Yeah.
You'd like to think that if he was, he'd fire it out there and tell you.
You know, and I'll be honest with you. Part of me, when I heard this news, the first part of me was like, wait a minute, why isn't that guy vaccinated? To avoid something like this.
Well,
even if he knew that these protocols were, as again, we call them archaic and they're dumb, and I agree there, but they're still there. You know, they're rules out there in this world. we don't agree with, but we abide by them. Okay? But if he knew these rules were in place, how come he didn't? We know to avoid a situation like that, I might as well go get the shots. Well, and I know he started the process, but yeah, a little too late.
It's
been available since what, mid-April?
Well, but he doesn't have to.
I know that. I'm not, and again, I've always been on the stance of free will. That's your choice. But if millions of dollars are on the line, and there's a chance, like, man, they're still testing.
Yeah, but they're just testing. I mean, that's the funny thing. Well, I mean, there's documentation that even if you get the vaccine, you can get the virus.
Oh, sure.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But all this testing to be safe for the players, they quit.
Right.
they even quit.
But you just said that they've said they don't test a player if they've been fully vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So if I'm John Rahm or any player on the PGA Tour, I'm like, oh, I'm getting vaccinated so I can stop with the swabs up my nose and avoid maybe a potential devastating outcome like John Rahm just had.
Yeah.
And I go back to the rabbit hole. Was this a way to say, you know what? We're going to go tell him as soon as he walks off the green so the world can see it.
That's true.
So you can go get that jab.
Yeah. And you know what? Some people, that's a consequence they're willing to face by not taking the vaccine.
I know it's a poor comparison, but it wouldn't happen here, but let's say my boss says you can't come to work. We're going to continue to test you every day until you walk through the door, mm-hmm, unless you're vaccinated. And if you don't come to work, you're not going to get paid. Well, God, my livelihood depends on it, so I'm going to... But I know, yeah, this is not a... But you see what I'm saying?
I mean, that's kind of the way they are as far as they have to perform to get paid. Now, that doesn't work in the regular workplace because that's... There's laws against that.
Right.
But as far as just the way that is set up, that's exactly what's happening. Because if he doesn't make cuts, he doesn't get paid. But then again, you're also singling out a certain segment of your players. And sure, there's a better chance that a non-vaccinated guy gets it than there is somebody that's vaccinated. But it's not zero for the vaccinated guy. So if you're really trying to worry about keeping everybody on tour and all the players safe and all the support staff safe, then why is that rule in place other than to do what you're saying? Get people to get vaccinated so they don't have to take a test. Why else would that be in place if there's not a little carrot out there to get vaccinated, no matter if you want to or not? So it's really, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't even know if that's a rabbit hole that you're going down. I think that's just the way that this whole thing is being portrayed toward the public. I mean, they're trying to almost make you start wearing scarlet V's on your forehead if you haven't been vaccinated.
Well, that sounds scary, scarily familiar.
With the passports and all that.
Yep.
So,
by the way, I'm getting real irritated with, you know, you get vaccinated, you're entered into a lottery to win money, or they're handing out, you know, six packs of beer or prizes for people who get, you know, the incentives for people getting vaccinated. I mean, I should have waited, I guess. I didn't get a lollipop. I didn't even get nothing.
It's like a $1 million lottery, you know, in Ohio.
Yeah. All I got was a sore arm and
it didn't feel very good for 24 hours.
Yeah. And a Band-Aid. I didn't get anything like that. What about for us who went there early enough to get it?
Well, that's why you got to hold on till the end.
Maybe that's what John Weimer's waiting for.
Hold on to the end. Then they'll just hand it to you instead of being in a drawing. What if you're the last one? Now that should be a prize.
If you
last one on earth to get vaccinated.
Oh, boy.
Well, that'd be interesting to see who'd be there. It'd be interesting to see who'd be there with me.
I would like to know, since this situation has come up, how many on the tour suddenly ran to the local pharmacy to get vaccinated.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
I'm sure there's HIPAA laws. You can't know that. But you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to hear some of them go, yeah, I saw John get, he damn near crying, and I didn't want to be in that situation, so I went and got vaccinated.
Yeah, and there may be some people out there that could use the 1.7 million a little bit more than Rom.
Yeah.
All at the end of the day, too.
Yeah.
Julio Jones traded. Is it official? I mean, I think everyone's reporting, and it's basically official.
I mean, Atlanta Falcons sent out a tweet with like, the
thank you and all that.
Yeah, with the what do you call that? The flying, I forget it.
Airplane.
Well, you know, they fly in formation, then one plane veers off.
Oh, yeah.
You typically see it at funerals and stuff. Apparently, they're really mourning the loss of Julio Jones.
Oh, well, I'll say.
Taking him.
So he goes to the Titans.
Precious act like that, applying it to sports. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Where do you think that puts them in the AFC pecking order?
Yeah, I'm going to unpopular opinion this one. I think they got him a little bit too late.
Oh, I do too, but
meaning
he's still better
career.
Than he, well, but he's still better he's than good, anybody but, else
I mean,
they had.
He's a good wide receiver,
Davis.
But I mean, does he put him over the top? I don't know. I mean, they were already playoff contenders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how far does this get them in the grand scheme of things?
Does it even make them the favorite in their own division?
Again, they were contenders in their division.
It's hard,
like Jim said yesterday.
It's hard to know without seeing Wentz and the Colts.
Right. Well, that's
it's
a good
hard
one.
To know.
Yeah.
I think you're definitely a playoff team. I don't know that they're Buffalo because of this move. You know, are they Cleveland? Are they, you know, that next
it
pack
of teams?
It just
drives me nuts when people get so overreactive to a trade like this. And how many times have we seen it where a big trade happens? I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. comes to mind. Everyone thought, oh, he's going to the Browns. He's going to pair up with Baker. They got all this talent around them, great running backs, and it hasn't really materialized. In fact, they got better when he got hurt. So they're doing it again with Julio. Oh, he's going to the Titans. They're already playoff.
So you don't even think it makes them better?
I think it doesn't make them worse, but I don't think it – I think it just keeps them about – even kill.
I mean they lost
their contenders in their division.
They lost three of their top four receivers in the offseason. They clearly had a hole there.
Okay, well.
And you fill it with a guy that's had more catches, more 100-yard games than anybody since he's been in the league. I mean, I don't think it's just like another guy.
No. But, I mean, maybe he fills the void of, you said how many? Three?
Three.
Okay. Is he worth three men? Can he fill that void?
Maybe. My concern for them would be because they have Julio Jones and what's his name? A.J. Brown. Do they immediately now think that they're some kind of aerial team and take away from their identity, which is running the football with Derrick Henry?
Ground and pound, yeah.
Or does that make that just that much more lethal
when
you can run a play-action pass to Henry, which everybody's loading up to stop, and all of a sudden, instead of throwing it to Corey Davis or Adam Humphries, you're throwing it to Julio Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see both sides, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think this automatically makes them the number one contender against, you know, the Chiefs.
No.
I wouldn't put
them
there.
And that's where I was going. I've seen a lot of people tweet out, oh, see, it's the Super Bowl. We're going to the Super Bowl. Well, you're still in the AFC.
I do think, though, it makes them almost a lock cinch to be a playoff team, either winning that division or a wild card.
Yeah, but weren't they already?
Neither one of us picked them last year. Remember us talking about that?
Yeah.
How we, you know, the AFC title game the year before and nobody trusted Tannehill. No, that's another thing. Does anybody trust Tannehill?
That's a good question, too. Which version of him you're going to get?
Maybe this unlocks the best. The best version of Tannehill.
We'll see. I'm just wait and see approach.
Yeah.
Can't grade the trade now. Let's see what happens. Because they were already playoff contenders. Does this make them better, or are they just still going to be playoff contenders?
Is anybody outside the Chiefs anything but playoff contenders?
True.
No, that's the one thing. If you don't get Mahomes, then it doesn't matter as much.
That's true, too.
Big news out of yesterday, at least locally, was the softball. And Oklahoma came back from a loss on Thursday to James Madison to complete their quest to get into the championship series. Four straight wins as they came back and beat Georgia. They beat UCLA and then James Madison twice. yesterday 7-1 to advance to the championship series. Their opponent will be Florida State. Florida State did the exact same thing, lost to Alabama in the first game. They beat they beat OSU, then they beat Arizona. Then they beat OSU. Then they beat Alabama twice to advance to the championship series. By the way, first time that's ever happened that both teams in the title series dropped their first game and had to come back through the loser's bracket. It will be, no matter who wins, it'll be the fourth time that a team lost their first game and came back to win the title. UCLA's done it in like 07 and 03 or something like that. No, 3-10. And then Florida State, ironically, back in 2018. Got two of the last three national titleists, with UCLA in 19 being the other. And, of course, nobody played last year. So, you know, this is a series of teams. You want to talk about coming in on a roll. I don't know how you could be coming in on more of a roll than to win four straight elimination games to get yourself into the championship series.
Yeah, really no clear edge if you're thinking, well, they got the rest. Other team had to come up through the loser's bracket. No, both teams had to come up through the loser's bracket. Both teams, like you say, coming in with a lot of confidence. We were talking about this on Friday. If a team's going to be able to come back and do this, it would have to be OU being the number one seed, getting shocked on Thursday. And they did. But Florida State, I think I'm impressed with because of what we talked about, that rain delay, playing so late on Saturday, turning around and beating stopping that, 20 game win streak of Alabama on Sunday, and then just absolutely starting off with a bang yesterday to take down Alabama. That was pretty dang impressive. So sets up for an interesting series tonight. Some would say on paper OU should be the heavy favorite because it's 1-10. But again, Florida State coming in with a lot of confidence. They're like, hey, we'll play at 2 in the morning or 6:30 at night or whenever. We'll play you. So they're going to come in with a lot of confidence, and OU's bats are really waking up at the right time. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
what would be really cool is if we can get three games out of this, and every single game will have been played in the World Series.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, didn't miss a single one. You know, if anybody can say that they had a harder road to this series than what Oklahoma had to go through, it is Florida State. You mentioned the resilience that they showed, you know, playing that game against Oklahoma State into early Sunday morning, clear to 2-0. And, you know, you heard I can't remember who it was yesterday after that game, one of their players that hit it was Mason, Elizabeth Mason, that hit the home run early, said, you know, hey, it's 9:00. We got plenty of time to get rested up. You know, considering it was 4:00 a couple days ago.
That's
so don't worry about us. We'll be fine. I do think there's something to, you know, the FSU. How many wins is this now in a row for facing elimination? 8. Mm. Dating back to that 2018 when they got all the way back and then won the national title. They didn't face one. You know, they swept that series. So that's now 8 straight elimination game wins for the Seminoles. I think that ties a record. I'd seen a marquee at one point pop up there.
So because tonight is not an elimination game.
Yeah, you figure OU has the best chance.
OU's going to win.
Yeah, and then maybe 2 in a row for Florida State.
There you go.
Nobody want to see that around here.
Oh,
but,
of course not.
I think it's going to be fun. And, you know, both teams will have different advantages. You know, both teams were able to score a whole bunch of runs off of what most people would have said were the best two pitchers in the tournament. Yesterday.
Were they?
Well, let's look at that, Jared. It's funny you ask. Now, listen, I'm not saying that Odyssey Alexander wasn't fantastic. She was fantastic in the first two games. She was. The win against OU on Thursday and the win against OSU on Friday. But, I mean, after that game yesterday, I'm seeing people tweeting out that she ought to be the most outstanding player of the tournament. Her team didn't even make the final series. And not only people tweeting it out, bunches going, yeah, I agree. I mean, how could she not be? Blah, 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 blah. Let's look at what she really did. What did she really do? She went 2-2. And her earned run average was 4.2. She pitched 26 2/3 innings, gave up 16 earned runs. 2-2 with a 4.2 ERA. Oh, but she was so good at the plate. Was she? She was 2-for-12 and scored a run, didn't knock in any. Now, just for comparison's sake, and now, you know, maybe take away the hitting numbers because she's really a pitcher that can hit. Let's just look at, say, I don't know, what most people thought was OU's third best pitcher going into the tournament, G. Juarez. So remember now, 26 2/3 innings, 16 earned runs for Odyssey Alexander. G. Juarez, 17 1/3 innings, 1 earned run. Oh, and oh, by the way, Juarez is 3-0 with a 0.4 ERA. I understand the hype after Thursday. I totally get it. It was, she came out and was fantastic. She really was. And she was great against OSU. But when you looked at the totality of what she really did, there is no person on earth should really think she should be the most outstanding player at this tournament. I mean, no offense. Her story was, the story was greater than the numbers, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
The story was greater than the numbers at the end of the day. Now, you carry your team into the championship series, then we have a conversation.
Absolutely.
In my mind, even if you lose it. But when you don't even get your team to the championship series, and, I mean, the numbers are what the numbers are. And I can also understand the, well, she had to face OU three times. Well, that's the way it goes. But for me, I mean, that high train just got way off the rails. Now, did she deserve the awesome ovation from everybody in that stadium yesterday when she's walking off? Absolutely. Absolutely. She was fantastic for two games and then got roughed up a little bit in the last two.
Right. Yeah.
And she, and of course she had the, you know, the underdog story working for her. And it just simply, eventually Cinderella lost her slipper and couldn't find it again.
You see it in every sport.
Yeah.
Nice run, comes up short.
And then sometimes it doesn't come up short.
ORU.
Yeah, I mean,
is JMU.
It, seriously, it's like saying, okay, Max Asmus should have been the most outstanding player of the NCAA tournament because he won two games as a 15 seed. Well, okay, he was good. Or Kevin O'Banner, let's give it to him from ORU. Or let's split it.
Right.
Eh, not really. It's not the way it works.
Well, I think you know my take on it, on why this gets blown up out of proportion. It's because it's a story angle that a certain network loves to run with, and they don't let it go. We've seen it year after year after year in every sport how that works. And they continue to run with it regardless of the numbers. You know, I saw a standing ovation for a really good player.
That's right. Which was well deserved.
I also saw OU knock out probably the tournament's best pitcher.
Pretty easily.
You see what I'm saying?
Both
but
things can be true.
But the story was, check out the standing ovation for this great pitcher that should get the Outstanding Player Award. That's what, that was their story. Mm-hmm. Where I saw OU's bats just rocked her out of this tournament.
Mm-hmm. That's what really
the
happened.
The story for me was OU got revenge. OU bounced back. OU is about to get back into the title series after losing their first game to this upstart JMU team.
Mm-hmm.
But no one likes that story. It's not flashy. It's not headline grabbing.
Well, you like it.
Well, but it because it's a fact.
That's what really happened.
Facts are facts. I like facts. You gave me facts. You gave me numbers. Numbers don't lie.
And it was
That's how it works.
It was a what happened. See, this is the problem for me about the way that this all blew up as she was, you know, coming off. That was, what really happened was a great moment.
Yeah.
It was a great moment. You know, getting all of that respect and all of that.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking the fans for doing it. Heck no. That is a great moment.
That was a great moment that she was able to enjoy, and I promise you she'll remember it forever. Walking off that field, getting the love from not only her fans, but also from a whole bunch of OU fans who were there to watch her lose, but still, you know, gave her that moment that she absolutely deserved.
If it was 7-1,
but stop there. That's where it stops. That's it. You don't have to continue on to reap extra things on that ruin that moment. See, now we're having to talk about it because you ruined that moment by all this other stuff and all the other fluff that goes on with it. That just is so ludicrous that nobody would believe it.
Now let's shift to, you know, the actual game and the actual games that are going to be played. Who do you think? I got an opinion, but who do you think should be in contention of the outstanding player? We don't know until this series is over.
Oh no, heck no! The series has to play out. Otherwise, right. It's already give it to Odyssey Alexander, and she'll take it back home to Virginia now.
Right?
Because you know the tournament's not over, but she already won. That's the problem with it. You know, you had Mackenzie Donahue, at least on the OU side. She's right there. I looked up her numbers. What is that? 10-12, 7-12. She's knocked in 7, hit 3 home runs, scored 6 runs from the plate.
That's my vote.
And then I had Juarez's numbers, 3-0, 0.4 ERA. She's won every game she's pitched, and she's only started one of them. Came in against UCLA down 3-0, got that one done. The Georgia game, got that one done, and got the win. So, you know, those are and then yesterday was after the first pitch was just dominant. Something that, you know, a little bit of a redemption story there, too. Mm-hmm. With her struggles in this tournament, both at Oklahoma and then also at Arizona State.
Right.
You know, so you've got that kind of redemption angle on that side. I mean, Florida State, there's plenty of options there as well. I think it totally depends on how this thing goes and then who shines in the brightest moments.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to get it done in the first game on Thursday. It's another to get it done in the last game on Thursday at 2:00 if it goes to that. Yeah. You know, it's a totally different amount of pressure, and there's a lot more on the line. And so, you know, that's where I think, you know, a lot of times just to create storylines and create things to talk about, these things go overboard, and they go overboard way too early.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happened. It almost, to me, it diminishes what she really did. And what she really did was way good enough to talk about and way good enough to celebrate. But it's what she really did. And instead, this extra takes away from that a little bit, in my mind, just because it doesn't make any sense to even say something like that.
Yeah.
But that's the way it went, and unfortunately for her, I mean, she's going to be remembered. I promise you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I promise you, she'll be remembered more than who wins this thing.
Right.
She really will. And that's the mark she made on the tournament. All by, you know, that's what she did. But that doesn't mean that you get awards that you don't deserve through this thing. And so that's where it was just so frustrating to take away from her accomplishments with the extra fluff that happened last night as she was exiting the mound and all of that.
Here's a fun question. Who won, off the top of your head, don't look it up. I'll give you a quit, and you're probably going to get it, but the novice fan won't. Immediately, who won the college football championship in 06?
Florida.
Obviously played in 07, right?
Oh, LSU. Wait, Florida. Yeah, Florida was the 06 champ, yes.
Right. But what's the game everybody remembers?
Probably Boise.
There you go. So when you see series highlights,
yeah, you know what?
From now in the next decade, you'll see a lot of Odyssey Alexander.
Yeah, and think about this.
Despite OU or Florida State winning it all.
And from that, it's funny you say that because another ESPN debacle with Hype Train, if you see a highlight from that game into the 06 championship game between Florida and Ohio State, what do you think you'll see? You know what you'll see? You'll see Tim Tebow jumping like a little jump pass or running one in when Chris Leak was the quarterback and was dominant that game. But nobody knows that anymore because it's all about Tebow and ESPN's hype that was created around
Tebow
him.
Tebow time, yeah.
Now, Turns out he won the Heisman the next year and led him to a national championship 2 years later as the real quarterback instead of just a battering ram that played like three plays a game. It's funny you brought that one up specifically with what we're talking about. Now, listen, she was phenomenal. She was fantastic. She was great for those first two games. And then she wasn't. And that's why Oklahoma's playing in the finals and James Madison isn't. And it's okay for both of those things to be true.
Right.
Yeah. It really is.
Hey, I got a solution for the late game situation.
Oh, yeah?
Now, it'd have to adjust super regional times and stuff. But start this tournament on a Monday. Schedule it to end on a Saturday. But then you got those days built in, Sunday. You know, if you need to delay it a day instead of have to play at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, it's pretty baffling that there's not like a rest day built in there. And they kind of have it.
Because I would love to watch championship games on a weekend, NCAA. I'm tired of watching them on Mondays and Tuesdays. In this case, probably Wednesday and even Thursday.
That's when there's nothing else going on in the summertime. It's wide open for TV.
Not for my schedule.
Not going against golf.
The college football championship should be played on a Saturday.
Oh, I love it on Monday.
I hate it.
I don't like it on Tuesday morning, though.
Exactly.
You know, Jared, sometimes you just have to talk through these things.
Just ask my wife.
Just talk through these things.
I think out loud a lot at home.
And you come to the solution. The solution would be if the softball World Series just started not the very next Monday after Super Regionals, the Monday after that. So basically yesterday.
Yeah.
Then you can play Monday through Thursday, just like you do Thursday through Sunday now. The championship series would be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then you've got, you know, time built in there.
Love it. Yeah, and then you got those days.
And, oh, by the way. Rain.
Okay, well, it's, you know, delay it, and then it could leak into the next week.
And if it happened to leak into the next week, then you'd get the Women's College World Series final going right into Omaha, starting the following, what, Thursday?
You know the winner of all that would be?
The fans.
Oklahoma City. Bunch of fans sticking around, spending money.
Yeah, they're doing it now. Got an extra day out of them.
Yep.
At least for two teams.
Yep.
NBA playoffs. You know, there used to be that slogan when we were kids. NBA, it's fantastic. Well, guess what? The playoffs haven't been.
Nah.
The playoffs have not been fantastic. So far, there have been 46 games played in the first round, and a couple of those series have played second-round games. How many do you think have been 10-point or less finishes out of 46?
Five.
No, there's been way more than that.
Oh, 10 points or less?
10 points or less.
See, that just shows you how much I've been paying attention.
18.
18, okay.
18 of 46, so less than half. Now, if you knock that number down to five, which the reason I put five is that's a lot of those, you know, the clutch time stats are, you know, what happens, five-point game, less than 2 minutes.
Right.
How many do you think have finished within five? You were a lot closer the first guess to this answer.
Four.
Six.
Six.
And one of those was on Sunday when the Hawks were up 30 and Philly ended up making that a four-point game.
Yeah.
Why haven't these games been close?
Hmm.
Or does this always happen and it's just because it's happening right now we notice it? Like last night, Brooklyn beats the Bucks by, what is that, 14? 39.
Without Harden.
Without Harden. With Giannis on the other side.
Yeah. Who had a double-double, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well.
Maybe like what else he had. Garbage time.
He also had a little problem guarding Kevin Durant. So why is this happening?
Well, maybe the seedings are actually true. You know, maybe we won't start seeing better games until the conference finals and the finals. But then I even doubt that, especially on the East. It's like the Nets are just going to steamroll through, even if it's the 76ers. Do you honestly think 76ers match up well with the Nets?
Maybe.
To a point that making it an interesting series to blow those numbers out of the water. Just
they so, do have know, the get, size. That's the one the size that can move.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing, and nobody's going to want to talk about this guy, but he's the best player in the game. And it's unbelievable coming off an Achilles that he is, at his age, that he's the best player in the game. But Kevin Durant's the best one. I don't know why won't anybody say that? Even nationally, nobody will say it. Why? Why can't Kevin Durant be the best player in the game?
Well, he's not. He hasn't struck a deal to make Space Jam 3 yet, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he not in the public eye, but maybe he does have an opinion about China, and they don't like that. More rabbit hole talk, sorry. But I agree. I mean, right now, I mean, he looks like the best player. With LeBron's early exit and his age starting to show, and this guy coming off that horrendous injury and still looking better than ever. Yeah.
Well, last night, 12 of 18, 4 of 6 from 3, 4 of 5, had 32, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. And it's just, yeah, well, it's kind of what he does.
Man.
I think one of the most underrated parts about Durant, and especially since he left Oklahoma City, part of that was, you know, who was around him in OKC. Part of it was he matured and got a little bit stronger. I mean, he's still skinny, but he got stronger. You saw it in Golden State, you're able to play him at the center position, and he can hold up defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a way better defender, especially in the team concept, than he ever gets credit for.
Well, speaking of the team, maybe this just come on my mind, but maybe he's not getting enough respect because of the team he joins.
I don't think there's any doubt.
So much flack for leaving Oklahoma City to go to a super team already intact, and then now he's built a super team under his vision in Brooklyn.
I think there's some truth to that.
You know, I mean, I hate doing it, but I give LeBron a little credit for when he went back to Cleveland. It felt like he shouldered the load more than he ever did compared to his other championships. Making sense here?
Oh, sure. I mean,
Kevin Love, and I know, Kyrie was on
Kyrie
that team,
was huge.
But it was a young Kyrie, but you know what I mean? And those were guys. How do I say this? I mean, they were there in a way.
Yeah.
And Kevin, he went and got Kyrie to join him.
And here's the thing about that.
Found a way to get Harden on his team. Blake Griffin on his team.
I think that's the part that kind of gets it knocked down in a lot of people's eyes. And it was the part that was absolutely unnecessary. They were going to win this thing without Harden. Really and truly, they had every chance to win without Harden.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now that they got him, it's a little bit like, I mean, Durant doesn't get near the credit that he really deserves for those championships in Golden State. Who was the MVP of the finals both years they won? Wasn't Steph. It wasn't Clay.
Yeah.
It wasn't Draymond.
Yeah.
It was Durant. Who was the one taking and making those big shots in those series? It was Durant.
Yeah.
And I think if they don't get Harden, there's more credit going around. And last night was, gee, many Christmas. It was ridiculous how good they can be. And I think it's an interesting thing to look at with what the Thunder are about to go through, what other teams are going through right now as far as building a team. And that is this. The third star isn't necessary if your first two really are stars.
Yeah.
Because look at who they even though they do have Harden, look what they're able to keep, though. They're able to keep Joe Harris, who knocks down half of his threes. They were able to get Blake. Now, those were...
Who's hitting threes himself.
Well, yeah, I mean, for you folks that hadn't seen Blake since he played as a Clipper, he's a completely different player.
Yeah.
He's transformed himself into, like, a really cerebral player that can shoot. But they're able to fill the roster out better without that third star. Look at the Clippers. Look at those guys around PG and Kawhi. Way better roster than some of these other three-star teams. And this Nets one, with those three, won't look the same going forward because they're going to have to cut loose some of these guys.
So are you suggesting that the age of the big three is coming to an end?
I think it might because of the way that it's structured now.
The big two and company?
And company, yeah, I do. And I also would almost suggest that if you have the super duper duper star, maybe just one.
Yeah.
Because everybody else can be so much better. We'll see. But you better have that one better be LeBron in Cleveland. You know, Kyrie was a budding star, but he wasn't quite. I mean, what made him bloom was that series. Right. To have a guy like that ready to go and prove it there at the end. Right. NBA playoffs. Hey, guess what? We're only 2 weeks away from the lottery.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.